Chapter 24. Elderly lady, thin face, rather skinny, eh? Apostrophe, apostrophe, yes, sir. Apostrophe, by heavens, it's the couple, Pickwick, apostrophe, exclaimed the old gentleman. Would have been here before, apostrophe, said the hostler, but they broke a trace. Apostrophe, tis them. Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Wardle, it is, by Jove. Shazam for instantly. We shall catch them, yet before they reach the next stage. A guinea a piece, boys be alive there, bustle about there's good fellows. Apostrophe, and with such admonitions as these, the old gentleman ran up and down the yard, and bustled to and fro, in a state of excitement which communicated itself to Mr. Pickwick also, and under the influence of which, that gentleman got himself into complicated entanglements with harness, and mixed up with horses and wheels of chaises, in the most surprising manner, firmly believing that by so doing he was materially forwarding the preparations for their resuming their journey. Jump in, jump in. Apostrophe, apostrophe, cried old Wardle, climbing into the chaise, pulling up the steps, and slamming the door after him. Come along. Make haste. Apostrophe, and before Mr. Pickwick knew precisely what he was about, he felt himself forced in at the other door, by one pull from the old gentleman and one push from the hostler, and off they were again. Ah, we are moving now, apostrophe, said the old gentleman exultingly. They were indeed, as was sufficiently testified to Mr. Pickwick, by his constant collision either with the hard woodwork of the chaise, or the body of his companion. Hold up! Apostrophe, apostrophe, said the stout old Mr. Wardle, as Mr. Pickwick dived head foremost into his capacious waistcoat. I never did feel such a jolting in my life, apostrophe, said Mr. Pickwick. Never mind, apostrophe, replied his companion, it will soon be over. Steady, steady! Apostrophe, Mr. Pickwick planted himself into his own corner, as firmly as he could, and unwirled the chaise faster than ever. They had traveled in this way about 3 miles, when Mr. Wardle, who had been looking out of the window for 2 or 3 minutes, suddenly drew in his face, covered with splashes, and exclaimed in breathless eagerness, "Here they are!" Apostrophe, apostrophe, Mr. Pickwick thrust his head out of his window. Yes. There was a chaise and four, a short distance before them, dashing along at full gallop. Go on, go on, apostrophe, almost shrieked the old gentleman. 2 guineas a piece, boys, don't let them gain on us, keep it up, keep it up. Apostrophe, the horses in the first chaise started on at their utmost speed, and those in Mr. Wardle's galloped furiously behind them. I see his head, apostrophe, exclaimed the choleric old man. Damn, I see his head. Apostrophe, so do I, said Mr. Pickwick. That's he. Apostrophe, Mr. Pickwick was not mistaken. The countenance of Mr. Jingle, completely coated with mud thrown up by the wheels, was plainly discernible at the window of his chaise, and the motion of his arm, which was waving violently towards the postilions, denoted that he was encouraging them to increased exertion. The interest was intense. Fields, trees, and hedges seemed to rush past them with the velocity of a whirlwind, so rapid was the pace at which they tore along. They were close by the side of the first chaise. Jingle's voice could be plainly heard, even above the din of the wheels, urging on the boys. Old Mr. Wardle foamed with rage and excitement. He roared out scoundrels and villains by the dozen, clenched his fist, and shook it expressively at the object of his indignation. But Mr. Jingle only answered with a contemptuous smile, and replied to his menaces by a shout of triumph, as his horses, answering the increased application of whip and spur, broke into a faster gallop, and left the pursuers behind. Mr. Pickwick had just drawn in his head, and Mr. Wardle, exhausted with shouting, had done the same, when a tremendous jolt threw them forward against the front of the vehicle. There was a sudden bump, a loud crash, away rolled a wheel, and over went the chaise. After a very few seconds of bewilderment and confusion, in which nothing but the plunging of horses and breaking of glass could be made out, Mr. Pickwick felt himself violently pulled out from among the ruins of the chaise, and as soon as he had gained his feet, extricated his head from the skirts of his greatcoat, which materially impeded the usefulness of his spectacles. The full disaster of the case met his view. Old Mr. Wardle, without a hat, and his clothes torn in several places, stood by his side, and the fragments of the chaise lay scattered at their feet. The postboys, who had succeeded in cutting the traces, were standing, disfigured with mud and disordered by hard riding, by the horses' heads. About 100 yards in advance was the other chaise, which had pulled up on hearing the crash. The postilions, each with a broad grin convulsing his countenance, were viewing the adverse party from their saddles, and Mr. Jingle was contemplating the wreck from the coach window, with evident satisfaction. The day was just breaking, and the whole scene was rendered perfectly visible by the gray light of the morning. "Hollow! Apostrophe, apostrophe," shouted the shameless Jingle, "anybody damaged? Elderly gentleman, no lightweights, dangerous work, very. Apostrophe, you're a rascal, apostrophe," roared Wardle. "Ha, ha," apostrophe replied Jingle, and then he added, with a knowing wink, and a jerk of the thumb towards the interior of the chaise, "I say she's very well, desires her compliment, specs you won't trouble yourself, love to Tuppy, won't you get up behind? Drive on, boys." Apostrophe, the postilions resumed their proper attitudes, and away rattled the chaise, Mr. Jingle fluttering in derision a white handkerchief from the coach window. Nothing in the whole adventure, not even the upset, had disturbed the calm and equable current of Mr. Pickwick's temper. The villainy, however, which could first borrow money of his faithful follower, and then abbreviate his name to Tuppy, apostrophe, was more than he could patiently bear. He drew his breath hard, and colored up to the very tips of his spectacles, as he said, slowly and emphatically, "If ever I meet that man again, I'll apostrophe." "Yes, yes, apostrophe," interrupted Wardle, "that's all very well, but while we stand talking here, they'll get their license, and be married in London." Apostrophe, Mr. Pickwick paused, bottled up his vengeance, and corked it down. "How far is it to the next stage?" Apostrophe, apostrophe, inquired Mr. Wardle, of one of the boys. 6 mile, ain't it, Tom?" Apostrophe, apostrophe, rather better. Apostrophe, rather better nor 6 mile, sir. Apostrophe, can't be helped, apostrophe, said Wardle, "we must walk it, Pickwick." Apostrophe, no help for it, apostrophe, replied that truly great man. So sending forward one of the boys on horseback, to procure a fresh chaise and horses, and leaving the other behind to take care of the broken one, Mr. Pickwick and Mr. Wardle set manfully forward on the walk, first tying their shawls round their necks, and slouching down their hats, to escape as much as possible from the deluge of rain, which after a slight cessation had again begun to pour heavily down. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.